Morning, church. I want to share with you this morning the things that I received as being the most important things that Jesus died for our sins, according to the scripture, that he was buried, and then he raised again the third day, according to the scripture. You see, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But for those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Everyone who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on the one whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear unless they preach? And how can they preach unless they be sent? Because faith comes from hearing. And hearing comes by the word of the Lord. So I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For the Jew first, but also to the Greek, for those who live in Frankfort, Kentucky, but also to the Wonan and the Embera who live in the Darien province of Panama and the Choco province of Colombia. Jesus, when he was here, he was walking along and he was telling a story. He was saying, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. Y'all remember that John the Baptist had been preaching that, and Jesus said this: the kingdom of God is close at hand. He preached that message as he went. And everywhere he went, people were being healed. People who had evil spirits, those spirits were leaving those people. And the people around about, they said, look, he preaches as one who has authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. People who were blind, they were receiving their sight. He even raised a few people from the dead. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, it says that Jesus came back to Capernaum. So he had been there before because that's where he lived. He come back to Capernaum, and when he got there, all the people heard that Jesus was there, so they came to the house where Jesus was at, and he preached the word. Now, the house became so full that not a single other person could get in the house. But these four guys show up, and they're carrying this guy who's paralyzed. Couldn't get in the house. So they went up on the roof, and they tore a hole in the roof. They let this guy down in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks up and he sees the faith that these four guys have. And he says to the paralytic man, he says, son, your sins have been forgiven. Now, there were some scribes, some religious people there. And they said, what's he doing? Now, they're thinking this in their heart. What's he think? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin. But Jesus, knowing what they're thinking in their heart, Jesus said, why are you thinking these things? Is it easier to say your sins are been forgiven? Or is it easier to say, hey, rise and walk? The scribes were silent. Jesus said, I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sin here on the earth. He turns to the paralyzed man and he says, get up and walk. Take up your bed and go home. And immediately the man got up, picked up his bed, and walked out. And the people marveled at what Jesus had done. And they said this, we've never seen anything like this before. Faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that's not seen. Faith. Bible says that with a little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go into the sea, and it'll be removed. The Bible says it is through faith that we receive this grace of God, faith. This story talks about faith. It talks about really two different kinds of faith. The first faith I see here in this story is the faith of the multitude. When Jesus comes back to Capernaum, we see that the people came because they wanted to see what was going on. They knew what Jesus had been doing. He had done it in their community. He had left. He had done it everywhere. When he came back, they wanted to see. Now, this is a faith that a lot of us have, this kind of faith. This faith says, I believe that God can do anything. I believe it. You believe that? God can do anything. That's the faith of the multitude that we see here. They're saying, yes, God can do it. He is able. He is sovereign, and he is all-powerful, and God is able. All of these people had that kind of faith. But you know, in this story, I see a different kind of faith as well. I see another faith. See, these four guys that come carrying this paralyzed man, they had a different kind of faith. Their faith was, not only do I believe that God is able to do something, I believe God's able to use me to do something. You see, the multitude came that day. They wanted to see somebody healed, but they didn't know who it was going to be. These four guys come. They knew who it was going to be because they had an act of faith that brought this guy with them. They brought him with them. They were expecting something. And they were expecting a specific thing, that God would answer their request. That's a different kind of faith. That's a different kind of faith. Now, as we look at this, what does Jesus say to this guy? Now, this is interesting, and let's not miss this morning, because Jesus, he looks at the faith. Whose faith was it? It was the faith of these four guys. It says he looked at them. More than one, so he's not talking about the paralyzed man. He said he looked at their faith, and then he says to the man, your sins are forgiven. Wow, did you know that your actions, your faith and actions will make a difference in somebody's life? It will make a difference in somebody's life. You see, God was responding to the faith of these four guys. What we do is important. How we act, the kind of faith that we put forth, is important. Without the faith of these four guys, this guy would not have been forgiven. I have a question for you. Is it possible that in Capernaum at that particular time that there was somebody else that was sick? I think it's probable that there was somebody else there that needed a touch from Jesus. Don't you think that's probably probable? But the multitude, what did they do about it? Did they bring them? Did they help them? You think if they had brought them that Jesus would have responded? But these four guys, they have this faith that has action, this faith that has substance, this faith that makes a difference. It made a difference in this man's life. Sometimes I wonder if I have that kind of faith. Have you ever thought about if you have that kind of faith? We all believe that God can do it. We believe that. All of us believe that because we know he can. He's all powerful. But does he have enough power to use a tobacco farmer from Jessamine County? Can God really do that? See, God is able. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we are able to ask or think. Faith. But see, look what happens here. These guys bring, why did they bring him? I believe they brought him because they wanted him to be able to walk, don't you? Y'all believe that? I believe he wanted him to walk. But what does Jesus do? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. They weren't expecting that. And these scribes, You know, we always have a few religious people here, right? These scribes were the religious folks, you know? And they were like, now, wait a minute. Only God can forgive sin. What are you doing? Now, they're not brave enough to say this. It's not coming out of their mouth, but they're thinking it in their heart. We came to find fault, and now we found it. He's blaspheming. We could put him to death for that. He is blaspheming. And Jesus said, why are you thinking like this? And they were like, what? How does he know what we're thinking? Why do you think like this? Is it easier? Now think about this statement that Jesus makes. Is it easier to say, that word say is important here, to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, get up and walk? Which one's easier to say? What do you think? I want you to think about that for a minute. Which one's easier? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, get up and walk? Every one of us here could say, your sins are forgiven. Couldn't we say that? It could come out of my mouth. But how many of us could say, get up and walk, and the guy get up and walk? It's easier to say your sins are forgiven. The word say is important here. Let me ask you another question. Do you believe that they said only God can forgive sin? Is this true or is this not true? They knew the scripture. These were scribes. They knew the scripture. It is true. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. What they said was a true statement. So I want you to think about that for a moment, because I've heard people say, Jesus never proclaimed to be God. This is Mark chapter 2. We're just getting started here with the story of Jesus. We're not at the end here. We're at the beginning. What's he saying here? I want to show you, this is what he says, that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sin. Wow. If he had been blasphemous before by forgiving the guy's sin, he's really being blasphemous here, right? I want to show you that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sin. And he looks at the guy and he says, get up and walk. Was he God or was he not? Did the guy get up? Did he walk out? Did they say, we've never seen anything like this before? Jesus proclaims who he is here in Mark chapter 2. He didn't say it words. It was much louder than words. But he proclaims who he is. These four guys had a faith that was incredible. They had an incredible faith. They brought this guy to Jesus. You see, in and of their self, they knew, we can't help him. He's our friend. We can't. Hey, but Jesus is coming. They heard that Jesus was coming, and we know somebody that can help you. That's the position we're all in, guys. I can't help you. You've got a sin problem, I can't help you. But I know somebody that can. I know somebody that can. And you know what else I know? I know that Jesus will respond to me. Will Jesus respond to you? Will he respond to what you're asking him to do? Are you praying? Are you lifting up your friends that are in your around about? People that are around about you. As you go, are you sharing? Are you praying for them? Are you talking with them about what God is doing in your life? You see, if God's not doing it in your life, it won't make any difference if you talk to them or not, because they won't believe it. But if God's doing something in your life, are you sharing that with people around you? Do you believe that God can use even you? Because, listen, the message has to be heard. The message has to be heard. Everyone who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on the one whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in this one that they've never even heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching, somebody proclaiming the gospel? And how can they preach unless they've been sent? God said, Jesus said, the Great Commission, go. He sent all of us. We're just like Brother Andy said, yeah, I felt like a missionary before I ever went to the mission field because he said, go. And he, when he says go, he's talking to all of us. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, for anyone, any man who is in Christ, any man who is in Christ, are you any man that's in Christ? He's a new creature, a new creation. The old things have passed away. Everything has become new. That's who Jesus is talking to in the Great Commission. He's talking to all of us. He's not just talking to these 12 guys. He's talking to all of us. Go and share what I'm doing in your life. Jesus here in this story performs a great miracle. But most of the time, probably the first 100 times I heard this story, I missed the miracle because I thought the miracle was about this guy that gets healed. That's important. That's very important. It was very important to this man, was it not? It was very important. He got healed. It was important to him. But that's not the greatest thing that happened here. Jesus forgave his sin. Jesus forgave his sin. In this story, we see four different kinds of people in the story. We see the multitude. It was a multitude of people came. We've seen a multitude of people who have faith that God can do anything. We see that faith here through the multitude. In our churches, we have a multitude of people, and they believe. They believe. We believe that God can do anything. Our God is able. In this story, we see that same multitude. A second group of people that we see in the multitude, we will find that there's some religious folks here among us today. There's religious folks in every church that's out there. We're here. A lot of times, the religious folks are trying to see what's wrong. What is the preacher saying that's wrong? What can we talk about that's not right? What is not suiting me? What's wrong? That's a group that we have here. They were religious, and we still have that group. Now, I want to say this here about this group because some of us may think back in our mind, and at least at some point in the past, we can say, yeah, I was that person. Because, see, here's the great thing about being that religious person is you can change. That person can change. You know, we look through the New Testament and Jesus' ministry, and we saw some Pharisees that came to Jesus, and they had some questions. I think of Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. But at the end, they came for the body, too. I think we see some change in these guys. We have a lot of hope for these religious guys. We can change. We don't have to stay the same. But you know, the very interesting, to me, the person I want to be like is these four guys. These four guys that had a different kind of faith. They had a faith that Jesus took notice of. I want you to know that Jesus took notice of their faith. When he looked up and he saw their faith, he responded to their faith. I want to be that guy. You want to be that guy? I want to be like one of those four. Completely helpless, not able to help people around me, but I know somebody who can. But they have to hear. They have to hear. They have to be brought to Jesus. This man was brought to Jesus. We have that same responsibility. I want to be like these guys. These guys had a faith that was active, and it was engaging, and it was bringing people to Jesus, and Jesus took note of this faith. Now, most of us would say that there's nothing that I can do that can bring about repentance in somebody else's heart, but now that's not what I see in this story. Jesus looked at their faith, And he said, your sins are forgiven. We can make a difference. Have you thought about the difference that you can make in somebody else's life just by praying for them, just by holding them up before the Lord? Will he respond or will he not? He will respond. We can make a difference. Do we need to speak words? You know, there was a famous person who one time said, I want to preach the gospel in many different ways as I can, and I use words if I have to. Y'all have all heard that before. But faith comes by hearing. Does it not? Faith comes by hearing. Now, we can pray for folks and God will respond, but faith comes by hearing. How can they call on the one they've never believed? And how can they believe in the one they've never heard? We have a responsibility to speak. We have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel. These guys, they did something about it. They brought this paralyzed man to Jesus, and Jesus responded to them, I want to be like that guy. I hope you want to be like that guy this morning. I hope when you leave here this morning, because you see, repentance is about change. That's what that word repentance means. It's about change. And all of us can repent and change, and we can be different. This faith that the church has, that God can do anything, is not a faith that changes people. It's not a faith that changes people. But the faith of these four guys, they changed this man. I want to talk to you about the last kind of people in this story. There's one other kind of folks in this story, and that was a crippled guy. That was this paralyzed guy. That was this guy that needed his sins forgiven. Now, there may be somebody here this morning that's like this guy. I was telling this story in a household in Panama recently, and I shared the story. I said, look, there's four different kinds of people. Which one are you? And the lady says, I'm the paralyzed. I need a touch from Jesus. I need to be saved. Can you help me? Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. And it happened twice that day. So our God is still working. He's still active. He's still moving. He's still blessing our faith. He's still answering our request. Our God is still active. And that lady came to know the Lord that day. And there may be someone here today. And you would say, yeah, I know who I am in the story. Because you see, all of us are one of these four people in the story. We're one of these four people. Either we're saved or we're not saved. Either you're part of the multitude or you're one of these four guys that has an active faith. But if you're here this morning and you realize, you recognize, I need a touch from Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he can forgive our sin, that he did die on the cross for my sin, according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. I believe it. You know, there's some guys here in this congregation. I would be one of those this morning, Pastor Andy. I'm sure there's others here as well. And we would like to be able to help you find Jesus this morning. There is help. He still responds. He's still ready to respond to what we would ask of him this morning. Our God is able, and he wants to respond to you.